It's Monday, October 23rd, 2006, and this episode, we're shaken, not stirred. Aloha, and welcome to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, brought to you by A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing. Visit them on the web at www.a2central.com, and by JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Check them out at www.juice.gs. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Hi everyone, welcome back. This is Ryan Suinaga. You are listening to A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, coming to you live from beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii. Our website location is www.a2unplugged.com. If you want to reach us by email, that email address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. And if you'd like to leave a message via voicemail, the number for that is 808-218-2737. Well, this episode, we can blame an earthquake, which made national news, helping to make us late. Last week, Sunday, I had gotten up and thought about doing a bike ride, but with the weather, we had a flash flood warning that day. I said, forget it. So I was getting out of the shower, thinking about studying for my exam, getting ready for church, and suddenly I felt the earth shaking around me. So I ran upstairs, made sure everybody else in the house started getting into a doorway, which they already were, and then it was over. Now, the last earthquake I can remember that was quite that strong here was more than 30 years ago. I was in elementary school at the time. And interestingly, when I checked the paper the next day, it also said that the last earthquake like that was about 30 years ago. For about 10 minutes or so after this relatively short, about 15 seconds worth of earthquake, we still had electricity. And then suddenly, we had no electricity. And we had no electricity until 1 o'clock on Monday morning. Despite all of the coverage, at least for me here, it was actually kind of like part practice for a real bad hurricane and part camping. I turned off some breakers and unplugged some sensitive equipment like refrigerators and computers. We learned back in Hurricane Eva, all the way back in 1982, the hard way about unplugging refrigerators since we lost one then. We got out propane tanks. We cooked that way. And I studied by a propane lantern that night until I couldn't stay up anymore. I was trying to stay up until the lights came back on. They came back on at 1, and because I had turned on the light where I slept, I was waking up. I plugged everything back in, switched some breakers back on, turned on the water heater, waited for about half an hour, and I had a nice hot shower at 1:30 in the morning. The only other thing that was weird for me was that even though my landline phone appeared to work and my pager appeared to work, the social worker on call at the hospital said she called me on both of them, and I never got either a page or a phone call. So now they have my cell phone number, which happens to be the same as the voicemail hotline for A2 Unplugged. Not that I actually ever answer that, but they have it now. What was pretty impressive to me, however, was that until I ran out of battery power on my iBooks and my cell phone, I was able to use them in combination to get internet access via Sprint and their EVDO service. So as much as I ride Sprint about their voice service, I have to say that their data service was great, and it helped me communicate with some folks to let them know that I was okay and let them know what was going on here before the national news caught up. I have to let people know, thank you very much for checking in on me. Those of you who are concerned, who know me as living here, I was fine. Some people on the Big Island did not fare quite so well, and our thoughts over here at A2 Unplugged are very much with them. So mahalo everyone for looking out for me, and my best to those of you who are more affected by the earthquakes. Let's go on to some listener comments for this episode. We'll go backwards from our usual, starting with a voicemail from Singh, who I suspect is a close friend of Rodney from our last episode.
Hello, this is Singh from Durban, South Africa. One day, I was typing on the keyboard so peacefully when this another fella came. The fellow said, why are you using all the rubbish Apple IIe and not a Windows XP? I told that fellow, why you really told me that the native still stinks? Oh, you should have seen that fellow, he wasn't crying. Can't you see, man? Using this old computer gives me pride.
Thanks, Singh. Fred wrote in, checking on me after the earthquake. Thanks, Fred. As I've said before, it's much appreciated. Glad to know that people are thinking about me out there. And finally, John wrote in with a question. How do you get a C compiler for Sweet 16 to write new software? Well, John, that will lead us into our topic in a few minutes, so we'll get to it then. On to a little bit of news. A couple of emulator updates for Mac OS X, Catakig 2.00B2 and Virtual 2 5.5 have been released since our last episode. The open source Catakig is at catakig.sourceforge.net and Virtual 2 is at www.xsforall.nl/tildegp/virtual2. As always, links will be in the show notes. Just a little bit of trivia for you. Catakig, the emulator, has been around for a while, and its name is derived from a typo for catalog, which, as those of us who've been using Apple IIs for a long time know, is the way you would get a directory listing all the way back to DOS 3.3. In addition, Kansas Fest News, Kansas Fest Committee, has named its 2007 keynote speaker as David Satella, former Nibble Magazine Editor-in-Chief. Please check them out at www.kfest.org for more details. A personal note on KFest, be there. Beyond that, I'm very, very impressed that the committee's been able to get this out this early. I applaud them greatly. I am very, very happy to hear that. And certainly I plan to be at KFest 2007. And I hope to see you there as well. Let's get back to John's question on getting a C compiler. So we'll talk a little bit about programming languages in general for the Apple II, but in particular, we're going to be talking about Opus 2, the collection of Byteworks products, which is made up primarily of programming languages and associated literature. So to answer John's question directly, there really aren't that many renditions of C that work on an Apple II. For the 8-bit Apple II, there's Hyper-C and Aztec-C. Aztec-C, as far as I know, is only available used. It's been out of print for years. Hyper-C, however, is available via download. I've used it in the past. I didn't find it to be all that great, but I'm really not that much of a C kind of guy. For the Apple II GS, in addition to those two, there's also Orca-C, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. If you decide you'd like to do programming in C but use a different computer than the Apple II to create programs that actually will run on an Apple II, you can try a few different things. You can try CC65, you can try MPWC, or MPW Orca-C. These allow you to write programs on other computers and compile them for running on an Apple II. Now, for a little bit on Orca-C, and also a little bit on the C language in general. C is a pretty popular programming language, although C++ is really the one that is used most by people today. C is a language that is almost like a compromise between assembly and some of the other high-level programming languages like Basic or Pascal. It tends to put out code that is relatively well optimized but is a little bit easier to write than in pure assembly. That's my opinion anyway. Not everyone would agree. Orca-C is from Byteworks, from Mike Westerfield, one of the Orca series of languages. There are lots and lots of Orca languages, including Modula 2, including Integer Basic, also including Pascal, which is my favorite. We'll talk a little bit about that maybe in future shows. For those of you who don't know, the ByteWorks was the major supplier of programming languages for the Apple II for many, many years. And Orca C is the only ANSI-compatible version of C for the Apple II. It only runs on an Apple IIgs. Among programmers today, there's at least some indication that it's the most popular language for Apple IIgs programming being used today. Although other people will say that they program in assembly for the 2GS, that they may use Orca M for that, they may use Merlin for that. Some people program in GSoft Basic for the Apple IIgs. Some people, like myself, use Orca Pascal for the 2GS. Almost every program I've completed for the 2GS is actually in Orca Pascal. Although, I actually will say that I do have one program released in Orca C. That's ClickIP, which is a side click module that lets you show your IP address with just a click of the mouse. The reason I wanted to discuss that a little was because I wanted to point out that Orca C is on the Opus 2 CD collection, and also what a great deal Opus 2 is for anyone who wants to program the Apple II. This is not a full-fledged review. If you'd like to read one, blatant plug, I wrote one for the Opus 2 CD on JuiceGS a while ago, one of our sponsors here. If you are a programmer, I have to tell you that there's no better deal than Opus 2, and even if you're not, there's some things on it for you. Opus 2 is a collection of just about everything that was ever produced by ByteWorks for the Apple II and 2GS. If you're not a programmer, there's some educational stuff on it, like the Ugly Duckling program. There's also some productivity programs on it, like Quick Click Calc. But the bulk of the Opus 2 collection is really the programming things. All of the Orca languages are there, including Orca C, including Orca M, which is an assembly programmer for both the 2GS and the 8-bit Apple II, and my personal favorite, which is Orca Pascal. There's GSoft Basic, which is technically not a Orca language, but is a BASIC, which runs specifically on the Apple IIgs. And there's also a bunch of programming documentation and reference material on the CD as well, which can be very helpful, including the programmer's guides to System 6 and System 6.0.1, which is very, very important if you plan on doing any programming on the 2GS. There's Marinetti documentation, the TCP/IP implementation for the 2GS. Documentation is there as well. There's also programming courses for the Orca languages, which will let you learn the language itself and also how to use the 2GS toolbox with those languages. Opus 2 comes in three different versions. Opus 2 the software, which is what I own, which is just the software and the documentation. I say just in quotations because it's a heck of a lot of software and documentation. There's also Opus 2 the source. Opus 2 the source is the source code for all of the products on there. So if you ever found a bug in an Orca language, or you ever found a bug in one of Mike Westerfield's other programs, then you could go ahead and try and fix it yourself and compile all the code there. There's also Opus 2 the Works, which is both the software and the source, two CDs in one package. Now, the last time I checked, the individual CDs were about $100 each, and the total package was about $200, and quite frankly, I think that those are a great deal, no matter which ones you get. I have Opus 2 the software, and it is the one Apple II CD that goes with me on every trip I make. So I think very, very, very highly of this, and I recommend people get it, particularly if you're interested in Apple II programming. This is available from Syndicom, one of our kind of sponsors here on the program. It's not really Syndicom itself, but its former subsidiary A2Central.com and its current subsidiary Juice.gs. But it's available from Syndicom. You can check out the Syndicom online store on the web at store.syndicom.com. And that's it for this episode. I would like to thank everyone for listening. I again would like to express my appreciation for those folks who were checking on me to make sure that I wasn't in some kind of earthquake-induced rubble here. I'm fine. My family is fine. The house is fine. Thank you for all of your concern. I am hoping for even more listener comments and interesting voicemails. If Rodney and Singh are out there, you certainly are welcome to continue to call in. I would like to thank our sponsors, A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing, for helping us bring this podcast to you. Visit them on the web at www.a2central.com, and also JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Check them out at www.juicegs. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you folks again in a couple of weeks. I hope there's no natural disasters this time that interfere with things, or unnatural disasters that interfere with things. Remember, our email address is a2unplugged@gmail.com. Our website is www.a2unplugged.com, and our voicemail hotline is 808-218-2737. Ma'alama pono, ahui ho. Thanks for listening, everyone. Aloha and good night.